No Kawhi, no problem tonight. AfterBuzz TV Sports breaks down Game 6 and the massacre of the Spurs and Rockets. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Official AfterBuzz Sports music.
Right.
Yeah.
The theme music.
Let me see. I'm lost.
Go to the homepage.
Okay. Oh, AfterBuzz, duh. Mm-hmm.
That's right. AfterBuzz is your home. And that's right.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right.
We're live, baby. We're live.
This is what
I do when we're about. Live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud. Like and subscribing. Telling your friends about AfterBuzz TV Sports as we break down Game 6 of the Spurs and Rockets. What's up, everybody? I'm Josh Tariff, Twitter, at Josh Tariff. Full gang here tonight. First, to my left, at JJ the Talented, Mr. Josh Johnson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's up, everybody? Find me on social media everywhere, JJ the Talented.
Over on the other side, it is Miss Jill Monroe.
You can follow me everywhere, at Stiletto Jill.
Also hanging out over there tonight, what is up, Miss Erica Davis?
Hey, guys. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Instastory, at Erica Renee D.
And on the couch, because there's not enough room for him.
They kicked me
off,
guys.
Desk,
they kicked me off.
And he's busy daydreaming about what the Wizards can do tomorrow night.
It's because they lost.
It's D'Angelo Platt.
What's up, guys? Hit us up on the live chat. I'm right here. Just hit us up with any questions. Also, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at D'Angelo. That's D-E-A-N-J-I-L-O.
And our head coach engineering us, hey. Mr. Josh Rodriguez.
What's up, everybody? You guys can follow me at Josh_Rodriguez_. I'm excited for this panel. I like this
at home.
By the way, Josh, is there a way you can turn yourself up for the viewing audience? Because I've been getting reports that we can't hear you.
Really?
Yeah.
How about now?
Is this better? We can hear you, but I don't know if they can hear you.
Audience, can you hear me? If you can, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
People were that you were missing, but really the only person missing tonight was James Harden.
Oh!
James.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Go ahead and get
into
that.
Did I say that?
Where's James?
A little bit.
Where's James?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's break down this game tonight, which game is a strong word to describe it, I guess. Spurs win 114-75 over the Rockets. They eliminate the Rockets in six games. They move on to the Western Conference Finals to play the Golden State Warriors. But no Kawhi Leonard, no Tony Parker, but this just shows the excellent depth this team has, which we've talked about in this show before.
Yes, we have.
And how much better of a coach Greg Popovich is than anyone else in the world.
Right. Yeah, right. I think Popovich, I always say that Popovich is the Belichick of the NBA.
Absolutely.
He takes the most underdeveloped talent and finds these diamonds in the rough and has depth upon depth upon depth. So even though I really expected for the Rockets, the way they came out game one, to win this series, no one should ever be surprised that Popovich pulls this out of his ass year after year after year. So I don't know.
Yeah,
can't say I'm shocked.
I think it's a system. He's doing a lot of things right. He's got a system. It's kind of like Avon. It's like
Avon.
If you work the plan, you can maybe be a millionaire.
Or Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, is that what's better?
Yeah, Amway.
Mary Kay, Amway.
And Rodan and Fields now. Yeah, those people sell Rodan and Fields.
If you just work the system, you're going to get a championship. Or you're gonna win.
If you just send your social security number, PIN number to that prince in Nigeria,
right.
You can be a millionaire.
You can be a millionaire. Right. Yeah,
I mean,
that's
for
what
me,
I didn't
expect them to win. Not that I was counting Pop out. I just thought that the Rockets were a little younger, a little fresher. I think that Mike D'Antoni shortening his rotation, I know that's the way that they always played, but they actually had to expend or at least attempt to play a little defense this series. I think it hurt them when Nene went out. Just overall, I'm really disappointed in the Rockets, and now it's going to start up that whole question mark again about Mike D'Antoni and his system and whether his system is really built for the postseason.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that and what the Houston's going to do in the offseason shortly, but we got to start on a positive thing here, and I think the biggest positive out of this game was LaMarcus Aldridge playing like LaMarcus Aldridge should be playing.
Through.
This man, 34-12 tonight, stepping up when the team needed him the most.
Because he's cupcakes off, too.
Yeah, you
I'm trying to be positive.
I do not hate LaMarcus Aldridge. I am just disappointed that he rarely shows up.
And I think that Oregon sold the Spurs a dream. Like,
yes.
Or LaMarcus sold the country a dream based on what he did in Oregon and Portland. And he came to the Spurs and has underwhelmingly underperformed.
Well, you don't think he was that good in Portland.
I think he was just okay. I thought that he had the potential to be so much more, but it also seemed that he got in his feelings when it became apparent that Damian Lillard was going to be the best player on that team. It just, his fit is always awkward. He seems to sulk, and when he's not completely happy, his game suffers a great deal. And I don't know what happened in San Antonio. That seemed like the perfect, that's like a layup. It was set up for him. Mm-hmm. You have Pop as a coach, a great team surrounding you. They want to use you in the post and get you, you know, to your spot. You can extend out, shoot the three, but...
Well, you brought up a great point there, because when he was in Portland, he started out as the guy, then Lillard show up, and all of a sudden he's become the guy. So he was looking for another place to go. He goes to the Spurs, where in his mind, as the time he was going, he's thinking, okay, I'm going to be number one. Kawhi's going to be number two.
Right.
Then Kawhi emerged. So all of a sudden, he kind of turned into the same position that he was in.
But do you think LaMarcus went to the Spurs thinking he was going to be the number one option?
I don't think. Wasn't Kawhi even when LaMarcus Aldridge came?
2 years ago, he was just, I mean, they knew he was going to be a good player, but they didn't.
2 years ago, he won the finals MVP, right?
Kawhi? No. Kawhi's never been the Finals MVP.
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
When was he the Finals MVP?
When?
Last year.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. All right. So I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge came thinking that he would be number one.
In my opinion,
I don't think so.
I think that's a great point. I didn't think about that. I do. I think that he thought, yeah, okay, Kawhi had a great series. He's still a great complimentary player, but it's going to be kind of on me. And it didn't turn out that way. I think LaMarcus lacks leadership skills. I think that that's one thing.
Well, I think the main thing that he was lacking was confidence. And to me, this was the biggest game of his career. Because, now correct me if I'm wrong again, Portland has not been in the Western Conference Finals in quite some time.
Right.
You know, we're talking jailblazers
time. Right. So, for him to be leading the team when they're down two
both
starters.
Both teams played hard.
And it just builds confidence. So when Kawhi comes back, he's got to have all the confidence he can because he's getting ready to go up against Draymond Green.
What is Kawhi's prognosis as far as when is he playing?
He's playing Sunday.
They're saying he's going to play. They're planning. It's just a matter of he's probably not 100%, but he's going
to
be playing.
And you know what? I think that even speaks even more like volumes to Popovich to his smart because. He could have tested Kawhi out because when Kawhi was walking into the arena, he looked a little gimpy, but he didn't look as if he could go out there if they absolutely needed him. But again, that speaks to the depth and the coaching genius that is Popovich and how he's able to put meat in the rotation and win a game if he needs to. Like I was like, Kawhi's out, no Tony Parker. Okay, game seven.
You're right. It speaks more to him as a coach.
Right.
I think he knew a little something that we didn't know because without Kawhi, I was like, okay, Houston has this game.
Game seven, yeah.
But then you see guys like Aldridge step up and then Simmons step
Jonathan up. Jonathan Simmons, Patty Mills.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Who is Murray? This was the third string point guard for the Spurs, and he has 11 points and 10 rebounds tonight.
Double-double.
That's inexcusable.
They do.
Rebounds were key for the Spurs because in each of the wins they've had in this series, they out-rebounded Houston, and they had a heck of a lot more second-chance points. So them getting rebounds was a huge key for them in each of their victories.
But Houston has stereotypically been lackadaisical in defense. So that means
James Harden. When Trevor Ariza is considered your defensive stopper, no disrespect, he's decent on defense.
Right.
But if that is, you know, where was Patrick Beverley?
Like we're saying with Mills and Simmons and Murray, these guys are supposed to be the ones being guarded by Harden and Beverley.
Right.
And Eric Gordon, who was nowhere to be seen tonight.
All their firepower was...
Right. The Spurs played 13 guys tonight. 13 people played. I didn't even think that was allowed.
Right. Can you have that many people on the team?
Six of the 13 in double figures. In
right.
Place. I mean, that's a balanced attack.
Yeah.
And considering that's a balanced attack when your best player is out and your floor general is out as well, I mean, all you can do is say kudos to the Spurs. But do you think they can beat the Warriors? That's a question for later.
They can't. But I'm not going to count them out from winning a game or two in this next series. So like, I count them out in this series.
So you think the Warriors sweep is over?
Oh, they ain't sweeping.
They're not going to sweep.
No, they're not. I think for me, what has become sexy and commonplace in Western Conference basketball play is perimeter play. And I think that I thought that the Rockets' perimeter play and the shooting 3 points, lights out 3-pointers, mm-hmm. was going to kill the Spurs.
That's what I thought.
But that first game, I was like, okay, I know it's the first game, but they played, I just like, the Spurs can't come back from this. But to compare the Spurs now going to the Warriors, that's the Warriors game too. And I really think that Popovich and that team with so much depth can play old man basketball and make the Warriors play down to their speed and still, I hope all the games, but still at least 2 games.
I think the difference between, well, aside from the obvious differences, I think that with D'Antoni shortening the rotation, I don't feel that his team was conditioned because they were having to exert a bit on defense, something that they don't usually do. They, you know, didn't seem to be in sync, and Harden really seemed to be winded. You could see it from going back to the fourth quarter. Today is Thursday. What was that? Tuesday night. That he just didn't look like himself. Someone I was talking to said that he looks a little out of shape for us to be this far into the playoffs. He looks like he's a little on the heavier side for his good playing weight.
I think we've talked about Harden's weight before.
It fluctuates.
Not here on the show, but I think it does fluctuate.
He's got a little belly.
But do you think he's kind of just exhausted?
I think that he was exhausted. I think that they were not prepared to exert that energy. I really think that Mike D'Antoni did them a disservice, especially when you saw Lou Williams wasn't getting it going on Tuesday night and things of that nature by not opening up his rotation just slightly. They needed that. Yeah. And I know that throughout the playoffs, the last couple of games, he shortened it down to 7, but I think that was ill-advised.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith on SportsCenter, now I pretty much take everything he says with a grain of salt, but he brought up a really good point.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Yes, yeah. And he brought up that James Harden looked comatose tonight. And I think that's a great way, because he just looked lost. He did not look like he was there. He didn't look like he realized the importance of this game. James Harden tonight had the fewest points ever scored in an elimination game in 25 years by someone who averaged over 25 points a game.
Raise your hand if that's... Look it. Right on time with the music. Raise your hand. Coach, is that your MVP? Is James Harden your MVP?
We've talked about this
on that show, that everyone's going to forget.
And that's the problem.
That the award show
because
is in 3 months from now.
Late.
I'm just pointing. Russell got a little tired at the end of his series as well. I think that even though they're super healthy, conditioning obviously has been an issue. It's kind of hard if you're carrying your whole team, maybe. I don't know.
All season,
but
yeah.
I mean, you know.
So are you
Russell
saying,
was chucking up shots
are
too
you saying that
series.
Harden shouldn't be MVP for regular season because of how poorly he played?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just giving him a hard time because people are like, oh, they are tired. My MVP for the bulk of the season has been Russell Westbrook. When you do something historic, triple-double, something we never thought we'd see in our lifetime, that we'll still be talking about 20 years from now, likely, and this season, that's the MVP. So I just wanted to throw it out there
to all
the Harden lovers. That's all.
Why did James Harden only take 11 shots, though?
Kool-Aid in his heart?
Why did the Rockets only make 9 2-point field goals tonight?
Ooh,
they choked. That's a choke.
That's a choke.
It is.
It's a choke. Yeah. Harden with none. He didn't have a single 2-point basket tonight.
What was his final stat line?
James Harden's final stat line was
10 points.
10 points, 10 2 of 11 points from the field.
That's a choke.
7 assists,
that is,
3 boards.
That's a choke.
4 of those 10 points from the line.
6 turnovers.
Ooh.
And 6 turnovers.
And 3 of those turnovers, I believe, were in the first quarter.
And he fouled out.
Yeah, he fouled out.
And he fouled out. Once again,
quadruple.
Dejounte Murray, 11 points. James Harden, 10.
10 points.
Whose jersey are you buying, people?
Here they go.
Have you been? What song is that? I don't know this
Rihanna,
song.
Where have you been?
I don't know this song.
I mean, it's Rihanna and Calvin Harris, I think, actually.
I normally turn when I hear
that. So, shout out to CJ Houston. He said, Russ went out fighting hard and laid down like a punk. surprise.
Right, I agree with that. I mean, and also, I say this on Sports Weekly every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, PHL Sports Weekly. Make sure you watch. I say this all the time that I got really sick of James Harden's drawing the foul at three-point line. Like, that is one thing that's been irritating me about him for years. And that, to me, makes him less dimensional than he could be. He depends so much on that play to get his points. And then when it's time for you to actually score and you're not getting the fouls, and I didn't watch the game because I was filming Sports Weekly every Thursday at 7 o'clock. When you don't get those calls for you, like, are you playing defense? Like, what else are you doing on the court when you aren't getting the refs to suck your, you know, thing?
Well, the team is known for driving to the hoop and getting to the line. Houston led the league in free throw attempts. So they took 25 free throws tonight, which was more than what the Spurs took.
Okay.
But for them, that's like half of what they normally do.
Can I interject really quick?
No.
Yeah.
As a head coach right there.
Go ahead, coach.
I just think it's this simple. I mean, you could break down the stats all you want. The fact of the matter is James Harden is basically the key that turns on the car. And he couldn't find the keys. The Rockets could not find the keys. So without that, nothing's going to work. The car's not even going to run. So you can break down all the stats you want. The car was not turned on. There was no car moving out of the driveway. That is the Houston Rockets, and therefore they just got their asses handed to them.
Yep. They needed Khaled.
Who was the second leading scorer tonight for the Rockets?
For the Rockets?
Or who was the first leading scorer?
For the Rockets, Trevor Ariza led with 20,
okay,
and then Capella with 15. Yeah,
listen, shout out to Trevor Ariza. That's LA, UCLA, Westchester High School, and all of that. Yep. But when Trevor Ariza is your leading scorer, says a lot. And that's not meant to have any disrespect on it at all. Solid player, good for your bench. The only one really that plays defense besides Patrick Beverly for the Rockets. However, it's not going to be a good night. But you would think it would be without Kawhi and Tony Parker. So
everyone thought the Rockets were going to steamroll this game, and we're going to have a game
really,
seven.
Yeah,
the game was prime for the Rockets without Kawhi and without Parker.
In Houston.
In Houston.
So, more fault with D'Antoni and his scheme, or does this strictly fall on your MVP, captain of the team,
1,000% James Harden.
Yeah, it's got to be your captain.
You only put up 11 shots. Even if your game is off, you need to put up 20-something. I'm looking at his stat line. I haven't seen a game where he has not put up less than 15 shots.
This was his
And I'm going like months and months
back.
Yeah,
this was statistically his worst game of the season.
Right.
Tonight.
Yeah, so
was he just ready for big booty strippers and Instagram
vixens?
1, 2, 3,
Cancun.
No,
I think it was just the wrong time. Maybe it was just the wrong time for him to have a night like this.
No, this is home in Houston.
Maybe he went to V Live. Is that still the strip club in Houston? I don't know.
What's
anyway,
this is a trend with James Harden. And I think, like, it's like we have to go back to when he was a rookie in Oklahoma City. Like, you can go back 2 years ago when they played the Warriors in the playoffs. In crunch time in the playoffs, he kind of disappears.
So he doesn't have that mental fortitude.
I don't think he does.
In the key games.
He needs to
holler at Kobe. Yeah, he
needs to talk to the Mamba.
It started in this series in the fourth quarter from the last game. Like, in the overtime game. In the fourth quarter, that's when he started to struggle. And I feel like something clicked. He was like, oh, snap, we might win. And he's just kind of like,
I thought that what it looked like, what you saw in the final minutes of the fourth on Tuesday in overtime, mm-hmm, was him reverting back to his bad habits that you've seen so many times before. And I think part of that was fatigue, because for him to have the year that he's had up to this point, just what makes you go that far off course from your game? What makes you just that timid all of a sudden?
Maybe it's a mental thing. You know, maybe he has not learned to step up to the plate under pressure. I don't know. I'm not trying to give him excuses. He's not my favorite player by any means. But fatigue, psyche, like, maybe he's being psyched out. Maybe he can't arise to the occasion because he's getting cold feet.
Consolation for the Rockets. Their offseason is not bad by any means. Their biggest free agent is Nene. So pretty much everyone on their roster that's been a big factor is going to be there again next year unless they decide to make some crazy trade.
Yeah.
So they got that going for them. They have 2 second-round picks. Don't have a first-round pick because that's what they gave up for Lou Williams.
Right.
So it's really a matter of, okay,
for
going
for the Rockets, not for the Lakers. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hurtful. It's a matter of going into this offseason, what can or what should Houston do to take that next step? Because they had a great regular season. They're one of the, based on the stats, based on the win-loss record, they're one of the elite teams in the NBA, and everyone is staying put. So what should be their next step to break that home, get to the conference finals, contend with the Warriors?
Who's their starting three?
Their big three currently would you probably consider Harden, Beverly, and then either Ariza or Anderson.
Yeah.
And then Garrett Gordon and Lou Williams both come off the bench.
I was just going to say they need to get some defensive-minded people on the bench. Do you know what I mean? So that you could at least somewhere, there has to be some defense to come from somewhere. I think that they can hold Pat, but the problem is that they're in the West. The West continues to get better. And so they're going to kind of just be in that holding Pat. What were they this year? Were they four?
They were third seed.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that I don't really see them moving up to one of those first two spots next season. I think that
they'll probably hold steady at three.
See, I think the two spot is always up for grabs. I know I always go back to the Clippers, but I feel that the Spurs, Clippers, and the Rockets on any given Sunday could be the three. The two or the three, yeah. I guess I'm saying, because the Warriors are a cemented one from now until forever. I feel like Rockets, Clippers, Spurs, could any of those teams could be the three, the two or the three.
Why Clippers? Not anymore. They're going to be dismantled.
Now with the new CBA, I don't know that it makes sense for CP and for Blake to go to another team.
Blake needs to go to another team. I think that is part of the problem. He needs a change of scenery. I think that something is off. Like, Blake and DeAndre
would
be
Houston be a good
close.
Fit for that?
I actually think Blake. That's where I think he needs to go. I think he needs to go home. Nice.
But with the new CBA, players like CP and Blake would have to take substantial pay cuts to go to another team in the West and then still be behind the eight ball. Yeah. Like, if you go to another team in the West from the Clippers, you're still not better than the Spurs. You're still not better than the Warriors. So why would you take a pay cut and go to a team that still might finish lower than the Clippers would?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
on the flip side of that is, I mean, we've seen people take pay cuts, and I mean, it probably is the difference of like $40 million for somebody like CP3 or something huge. But if he really wants to win, you can always do one of those short deals, a 2-year deal someplace, and still get out of it.
But Blake is like 27, 28. He's not taking a big pay cut.
Blake
at 27,
needs to go away. We don't want him back.
For the Rockets, I'd say.
Well, the Clippers are long gone anyway.
Yeah.
So, and now the Clippers are gone too.
To be fair to the Clippers, when they're healthy, dominate the regular season. So it's not outlandish to say they could be 2-seed.
But be 2-3
for the Rockets, to answer your question, it starts and ends with James Harden. They don't need to do anything. James Harden needs to figure out how to win in clutch time. The Spurs didn't win this series. They did not win game 6. The Rockets scored 75 points.
Dang.
There's no way you could say the Spurs, like, I can't give Spurs too much credit in this game. Definitely to compete in the series, but the Rockets were a better basketball team. And I think that the fact that Harden didn't show up and no one else showed up in that game. And if James Harden doesn't figure it out, there's no free agent you can bring in. That's your superstar. If your leader doesn't know it, you're not going
to
know it.
And you better go back to the desert this summer and meditate.
You better call Kobe. Kobe said he's an open book, man. Figure that stuff out.
Kobe said?
Well, looking into the next round now, because Spurs are advancing. They're going to take on the Warriors, the 1 and 2 seed in the West. Who do you think would be X factors for both teams? Obviously, we know the obvious people of Durant and Aldridge and Kawhi and that. But, like, to me, if Jonathan Simmons keeps playing like he's been playing these last few games, then he's going to be a real fun battle with Iguodala, those two guys coming off the bench.
Okay.
So I'm really intrigued in that matchup. Probably the most intrigued of that, besides the obvious matchups. I think it's going to be a much closer series than people are thinking.
I don't.
Oh, I'd say 4-2.
Yeah.
4-2. I feel like the Spurs got lucky. Sometimes it just happens. I'm not taking away from their talent or what they have, but they were not really supposed to come out of this series.
I think the Warriors are going to do what the Rockets should have done in this series,
which is
win
run
four
them
games
down.
To run them
rain
down.
You think they're going to sweep them? It's hard to believe the Spurs will get swept
with the firepower they have from the three point line.
Just
that's
get
all
those
is.
Runs up on them big, and they're not going to be able to back them down.
Since the Warriors have really exploded on the scene, so in the last 3 years, there have only been two teams that have beat them more than three times: the Cavs and the Spurs. The Spurs know how to beat them. They might not be able to beat them in a best of seven series. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's most important here.
Well, right. But I'm saying this series is going at least six games.
Fair.
You were asking about X Factor, Josh.
Yes.
My X Factor is not going to be a player. My X Factor is going to be when Steph and Clay and Dre are all off from the perimeter. Like, that's my X Factor. Like, because they've had series where two of them have been in slumps. Mm-hmm. And they're a much better defensive team than the Rockets. But, like, their prowess is scoring, shooting you out of the gym. Don't let Steph and or Clay have two nights where they're slumping. That, to me, is an X factor. Now, we haven't seen that so far in playoffs because they haven't really been challenged.
Yeah. And, I mean,
but that's my X factor for this next round.
You always have Kevin Durant.
Yeah. That's what makes them better this year.
And then Draymond has been having an excellent
Draymond's the MVP of the playoffs right now.
If the X factor is if Pop can somehow get Mike Brown to have to do an adjustment. If it comes down to coaching.
I was just going to say. Yeah,
and that's the only thing I got. Like, I'm like, no, Mike Brown versus Mike Brown. Yeah, like then if you somehow make Mike Brown have to do his job, then I'm like, okay, maybe the Spurs will have a chance. That's the only way I feel like.
But when does a coach ever have to actually coach the Warriors in the past
that's the question.
Year or two? Yeah. That never even matters. I mean, we see what happened with Luke Walton.
I agree.
Josh, and your Lakers.
Yeah, what about
it? Also,
yeah.
Okay. Parker Bradley on the live chat said that the X factor is Powell and Kawhi's health, of course.
Well, yeah, Kawhi's health. But, yeah, Powell's a great one, too. Because
I think Powell's past his prime.
He's been very quiet. I mean, tonight he did have a double-double. He had 11 boards, but
Powell
only
had
10
double
points.
Double tonight?
So don't call him double-doubles, though.
He's obviously he's a solid player, but I just don't think that he's impactful. I think he's past that point as far as his career.
I think that could be another intriguing matchup, though. Off the bench, you will have McGee, young, kind of crazy JaVale McGee,
versus
the old wise Pau Gasol. Yeah. Mm. And it's a matter of will Gasol outsmart him, or will McGee just
old too,
be athletic? Huh?
He's just
crazy athletic. Yeah. Doesn't
okay.
really.
But I feel like he
doesn't think before he jumps.
But I feel like he has enough help that if you get a little physical with Powell, it's going to kind of leave him in his sorts and open it up a little bit for JaVale to look maybe better than what he really is.
That's a good point. I think Powell. Consistently, I remember when he was with the Lakers. Like, if you rough him up a little bit, he'll get frazzled.
Yeah, he does get a little frazzled.
Used to be frustrated,
but also maybe he was a little bit timid when he was playing in LA because he had to kind of defer and cower to Kobe. And
no, that was his BFF though. They bonded over being.
Let me tell you,
Kobe
was nobody's real BFF. Kobe got on the court and he cursed everybody out. Everyone kowtowed to him. So
Kobe's BFF was Kobe.
Thank you, Josh.
It's not rocket science to figure that out.
No, they were as close as possible to be close with Kobe. During that time period, they had a different type of relationship.
But there's still intimidation
factor.
They
had like a Steve Harvey and a staff relationship.
Right.
No.
Like, you better rebound or you're going to get cursed out and
don't
slap
speak
in.
To me in
you
the
better,
hallway.
You better not talk to me unless we're on the court.
Right.
That's the only area where we can have a communication. Do not give me eye contact unless you're passing
social.
Me the ball.
That was his boy. They were cool.
Well, let's look at the Eastern Conference right
let's
now.
Let's not.
I'm good.
Right. Let's
no,
not.
Wait. Well, why are you
what
saying
happened,
that though? Like,
let's talk about the collapse
you
yesterday.
You guys gotta go seven games, man.
Yeah, you're down.
Let's talk
you're
about
down,
was there a basketball game yesterday?
You're down
was.
Three.
Are you worried?
Yeah, look at everybody.
Wait, I don't know why I'm standing up for your team. Like, are you?
Well, I have no faith in the basketball. I would love us to win, obviously.
Well,
they didn't.
So far this round, the home team has won every game. Game six is in Washington. So why are you not confident in your team?
Because they didn't. They didn't play and inspire. They didn't. It's not about losing. It's the fact that they did not show up. They James Harden that entire game.
Ooh.
Like they didn't. I didn't see.
We're
I didn't
coin
see,
that phrase.
Yeah, they James Harden that, and I think that it's hard to get behind or emotionally behind a team that in a game where you know if you get ahead, you're ahead 3-2. It's hard to get behind a team like that that doesn't show up in an important game like that. Even if they win this game six, why would I believe they'll win on the road? That game five was huge and. Nobody, not even John Wall showed up.
Well, because we were saying earlier that the Celtics suffocated him on defense. I mean, I've said it before on Sports Weekly for Thursday at 7 o'clock, that I did not believe that the Wizards even had a chance in this series, period. Like, I didn't even want to discuss it. It's a waste of time, I feel.
Well, I mean,
these teams to me are closer than any teams in the playoffs.
I agree.
Very evenly matched. I think the key for the Wizards, if they're going to win, they have to keep the ball out of Isaiah Thomas's hands. They have to keep his points low. They have to get the rebound.
And you need Bradley Beal to show up.
Yeah. Who's your rebounding guy?
I mean, Gortat.
But yeah, but Bradley Beal, what you guys say, I mean, he's currently in the series. He's averaging just over 19 points a game, which is not bad, but it's not nearly as good as it should be for Bradley Beal. Right. Bradley Beal's the type of guy who should be getting between 23 and 25.
Yeah. What, to give the Celtics credit, though, Amir Johnson starting he's been the reason that they've suffocated John Wall very well, because they've
shout
done
out
well
to Westchester High School. Another
did he go to yeah?
Yes, he did.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did. Westchester High School, came straight out of high school, and his birthday is May 1st, same day as mine.
He came straight out of high school.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he's old.
That little last thing. I think he just turned 30 or 31. He came out 2005, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So what they did at home to get rid of him is they got him in foul trouble. That didn't happen in Boston, and I think they got to get rid of him somehow. Attack him. We got Gortat to like post him up or more. It's like I think they'll have to do that in Game 6 and in Game 7. Somehow get rid of him so they can have room on the fast break.
Well, and the Wizards can't let Avery Bradley out a 29-point game.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, well, that's
right.
But again, we were talking about depth with the Spurs. I mean, the Celtics in Game 5 in particular, besides Bradley with 19, Thomas with a low 18 points, which is low for him. But then Horford had 19, Crowder had 18. Marcus Smart has been probably the most consistent player for the Celtics in the series.
Yeah.
Averaging like 7 points a game?
Well, he's averaging about 9 points, but each game, he's getting up also about 6 assists. And last game, he had 11 rebounds.
I bet you if you do those hustle points, I forget how they're calculated.
Like the plus-minus thing?
Yeah, he would have a lot of the hustle points.
Yes, he would. I don't have that number in front of me because I don't know how they calculate that. but I mean, and the other really intriguing thing, because a lot of people have been talking about just the second round of playoffs in general, how it has not been overall entertaining. There have been 19 second-round games. 17 of them have been decided by over 10 points.
Mm. Yeah, that's
crazy.
Which is sadness. Ridiculous.
That's boring basketball.
It's very boring.
But I think we're going to get another one of those tomorrow night in favor of the Wizards.
Right.
And that will I hope, lead to a close Game 7.
No.
I'm with you on that.
I wouldn't be shocked to see
seven, seven, I'm not seven, interested yeah, in the yeah, East until it gets to Celtics-Cavs. I don't know. I'm not sold on John Wall in the playoffs. You know, beat me up. Sorry.
Playoffs. I mean, playoffs is fair.
I'm not sold on John Wall.
He's been balling out in the playoffs, though. Yeah.
This is a great season.
I'm just not sold on him leading the Wizards out of this round. I just from the beginning, I was like, the Wizards, okay, they'll get swept. I just didn't believe it.
Wow.
So you're shocked that we won 2 games?
I am. I don't know if it's because Isaiah. I mean, Stevens. I don't know what it is. I just always
something about it. Yeah, I felt that way about the Rockets.
I don't look at the Wizards as a real contender.
Why are you so convicted about the Celtics though? Like, what about them? Because
when Stevens got hired a few years ago, I was like, this little man is so smart, and he's going to turn this franchise around. And he has consistently gotten the Celtics better. I mean, they're a one seed this year, but even when he came in, I followed his college coaching career, and I really believed in him as a coach, and he's proven himself year after year after year. Right.
I like his coaching, but I just feel like the Celtics, as comprised, I don't have a lot of belief in them as a team.
I'm scared they'll get swept by the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Final, personally.
Well, yeah.
I'd rather see the Wizards there because I think the Wizards will compete a little better.
Me too.
I don't think so. Mm.
No, I do think the Wizards this year would give the Cavs this more year competition. Yeah. But, I mean, the Celtics, just their team chemistry is just phenomenal. And their youth and the fact that they could very well score a free agent because they can still afford it thanks to Crowder's super cheap contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the fact that they're going to have a top 3 pick in the draft.
Yeah,
right.
which they can use as trade bait, too.
If they got, like, Paul... I would love... Like, taking my Wizards out of the equation, it would be really cool to see Paul George go there and then whatever draft pick they get.
I mean,
right.
I've been hearing that. That's
it'd just be cool.
Don't want.
Yeah, they shouldn't have wasted that money on Al Horford.
Ooh. so we'll see what happens with game 6 tomorrow night. Jill, do we have any news and gossip?
We do. Arise. First, we're going to start off with a little did you know. So,
ooh, I like those.
Since we're inevitably kind of looking ahead to Cavs, Warriors, just some things. So on shooting, right? So far through, you know, because both the Cavs and Warriors are 8-0 in the playoffs, what do you think their field goal percentages are? So I'll tell you that the Warriors are at 48.5%. What do you think the Cavs are at?
Higher than that.
Yeah, definitely higher.
49.3. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was another stat. Okay, so for their big three, the Warriors are scoring 66.5 points per game. The Cavs, where do you think they're at?
Their big three. Which, is that considered LeBron, Kyrie, and Tristan Thompson? Because that's what it is.
No, I think including Kevin Love. Kevin.
And they're including Kevin Love, then I feel like it should be lower, but right. LeBron's just been on a tear, and it's probably higher.
72.
There it is.
Dang.
It's a lot of LeBron in there.
Assists per game, Warriors, 11.5, Cavs.
Only 11 assists per game? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're like combined from the big three or from what?
For the big three. For
I was going to say, they got a lot more assists.
I say Cavs 14.
Yeah, I agree.
You're good.
Yeah.
I didn't look either.
No, I believe you know.
14's
you.
A good number.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Okay, and so for rebounds per game.
Oh, that's Cavs.
Yeah.
Warriors are 16. What do you think Cavs are at?
19.
For their big three. 20.
Yeah, they're
pretty evenly matched. So, I mean, the way that
that's
it's coming
down three.
On paper,
yes,
the big three in general,
then
though.
Comes the others.
But they got
other
four. Stuff in the right. Right. So, it's four of them.
So, I wonder, so...
four of the Cavs.
Four of the things. So, just a little thing. Okay, so two other quick little updates. Now, we know Draymond Green's been talking. I think he's been getting a little bit of unfair criticism because he has an opinion and...
He's a shy guy.
He's just talking a little bit. But Richard Jefferson... unloaded some ether on his podcast to Draymond's criticism about the Cavs opponents that they were playing. Mm-hmm. So this is Richard Jefferson's quote that was on his podcast. Somebody that decided to start a podcast after we did, because you know, Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye, and a young lady have a podcast called Road Tripping that they do when they're away at road games, and now Draymond has his. So he said, which I think is just decided to do a podcast after they did, after we did, to comment on the quality of teams we were playing. I don't think that's very nice because obviously we know what Portland and Utah have accomplished this year, or just in general. I can imagine with Nurk being out, Portland was not at full strength. With George Hill being out, obviously Utah wasn't at full strength. Mm-hmm. Mike Connolly being out a couple of years ago, full strength. Pointing out to what happened a couple of years ago to the Warriors when they were playing on their road to their title.
Right.
Cavs have not having Kevin or Kyrie at full strength. So at the end of the day, to criticize what other people are doing, I think it's just best you take care of whatever's in front of you.
Thank you.
But you should never criticize what other people are doing. You should never criticize what other teams are doing. At the end of the day, if you're not working with an efficient group of guys that are handling their business, then you should take... Oh, if you're working with an efficient group of guys that are handling your business, just take it. But you should also look at, have we been playing the highest level of teams every single year and everybody at full strength before you criticize other people?
So
a little base.
There's one area of that I'm going to disagree with Richard Jefferson on, because James Harden just proved it tonight. The fact that, yeah, players can be down, but you still have to come out with a game plan and execute it. Yes, the Warriors have had situations where people have gotten hurt, but they could have got lazy. They could have underestimated them and be like, oh, Conley's out. We got this in the bag.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Steph was hurt last year. Kind of like what Houston was thinking.
Oh, Kawhi is out. We're bringing this to seven. No problem. And Josh, where did James Harden go? Do we know where James Harden went?
I don't have any more sound effects, but I can't find him. I've been looking for him everywhere.
Has the chat roll found him anywhere? I mean, maybe he's in the chat roll.
Maybe he's posting a Bow Wow challenge.
Maybe.
And so,
I like Jefferson's point, though, because every team does depend on some luck, and I do think that the Warriors, the year that they won their championship, got lucky and coasted. They got lucky. I mean, I know you have to game plan for whether or not your opponent is healthy or not, but there was a lot of luck involved in the Warriors' first championship. So Richard Jefferson, I co-sign his point.
I mean, I think that they both have fair points. I'm not really mad at either. We, you know, let's just get the intensity up. He made some very valid points, but I think every team has a bit of luck that they deal with, especially when you're getting further and further into the season. You know,
they're bored. They're ready to get to the finals.
The Warriors have had a lot. But even look at the Warriors' path to the finals, to the Western Conference Finals this year. Like, who they play? They play the Jazz last round. Come on, that's a joke.
I agree.
They play,
oh, I completely disagree. I think the Jazz might have been the best defensive team in the West.
Yeah. That was a joke for the Warriors. Like,
but they're young.
The Jazz
could, very the Warriors
could,
made that a joke. The Jazz are a good basketball team.
Dream of matching the Warriors' intensity. And so first round, they played who? I really don't remember who they played the first round.
Portland
first round. Yeah. Also a joke. I mean, so, like,
Portland's going to be a top four team next year.
Imagine if, but with for their, this year, imagine if the Warriors had to play the Rockets first round. Imagine if the Warriors had to play, you know, OKC first round. Like, they've gotten super lucky. So let's not.
I think if the Warriors played OKC first round, it would have been the same results as they played Portland.
I think they would have swept them.
I think they would have swept
OKC. They killed them during the regular season.
Yes, they did.
But, I mean, that's the playoffs. You play the easy teams in the first round, right? One plays eight. That's how it works.
But not always. Not always. Going back to 2015, when Clippers and Warriors, I mean, Clippers and Spurs played that. That was like a finals. That was like a Western Conference finals. That was a
4-5?
It was 3-6, I think. It was a 3-6.
Yeah. Were the Clippers? The Clippers were a 6 seed.
No, we were the 3 seed.
Oh, the Spurs were the 6 seed.
Yes.
The Spurs were a 6? That don't even sound right.
They were weird, right?
I don't even believe
that.
That's
why I was just telling you guys that the Clippers, Rockets, you know, going back, Clippers, Rockets, Spurs, they could all be 2 or 3. Whatever. But, it's the truth. I think that there are instances in which the first rounds can be tough for people, and the Warriors have circumvented that very successfully and very fortunately.
To your point, 10-year anniversary of the We Believe team.
Which one? Warriors?
Baron Davis.
Yeah. And the Mavs. It happens.
Well, it's the We Believe team, but the Mavs, they would have already knocked them out by this point. I can't remember who they played to knock them out, but yeah.
It happens. It does happen.
Well, you know, because by this point in the season, like, this day, that we were
almost
in the
happened
second
to the
round.
Celtics that you love, if Rajon Rondo didn't get hurt.
True, indeed.
Right.
They would have taken.
I don't know why. I'm low on my Wizards right now. I don't know why you're so high on the Celtics. I just don't. I don't get it.
I mean, they are our number one seed team.
All right, the Cavs.
Well, let's quickly go around the room.
Or number two seed team.
All right, let's quickly go around the room. D'Angelo, will there be a game 7 in the second round?
I'm depressed. I don't know.
Right. I'm saying yes, Josh.
Yes,
Jill.
I'm saying yes.
Wait, second round what?
Game 7 in the second round. So will the Celtics and Wizards go 7?
No.
Okay, Josh Rodriguez.
It is tonight.
Absolutely.
I hope y'all are right.
So we'll see what happens, and we'll be breaking it down, of course, for you here on AfterBuzz TV Sports. And, of course, the conference finals and the draft lotteries next week.
Yeah.
So lots and lots of stuff that's going to be breaking down. But in the meantime, you can talk to us on all various forms of social media. Erica, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on InstaStory. I do fun things on InstaStory. You should watch.
Play the piano. She's very talented.
Erica Renee D. Hey.
I'm Jill Monroe. You can find me everywhere at Stiletto Jill.
I'm Joshua Johnson. Find me all over social media at JJ the Talented.
Yo, shout out to the dog ISO 1000, CJ Houston, Noel Clayton for being popping on the live chat. Thank you for joining us. You can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, D'Angelo. That's D-E-A-N-J-I-L-O.
Coach Rodriguez.
What's up, guys? You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Josh_Rodriguez_. Once again, actually, hold off on the Western Conference, Eastern Conference schedules. We'll let you know. Obviously, we have to do a couple less shows because there's less games. But thanks for watching.
Yep. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Josh Tariff. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter, at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. For everybody here, because there's a lot of us. I'm Josh Tariff. We'll see you later. Deuces.
Where's Jane?
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.